afternoon. This is our 48th class in the Rambam, Hilchos Malachim and Melchamos, the Laws of Kings and Wars. We are in Perek Beis, chapter 12. We finished Halacha Beis, so let's begin Halacha Gimel. So we are, once again, chapter 12, Halacha 3. The Rambam had, in Halacha 1, told us that we're not looking for any great miracles. We are looking for a time of world peace. In Halacha Beis, the Rambam told us that there are plenty of other prophecies about what will happen, but that we don't know all the specifics, and so we shouldn't hyper-focus on any of the details of that. And now the Rambam begins Halacha Gimel, which is once Mashiach has already come, and he's led the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael, and we've reestablished the country as a nation of people living by the Torah, tells us the Rambam, that's when Mashiach is going to get a special job. Says the Rambam, Halacha Gimel, Bimei HaMelech HaMashiach, in the days of the King Mashiach, Keshetisyashev Malchuso, after his kingdom is established, meaning after we've gone through all of these processes and the wars and all of that, V'yizkabtu Elav Kol Yisrael, all the Jewish people will gather to Mashiach. And what's going to happen? Yisyachsu Kulam Al Piv, and all the Jewish people will be designated by their Yichus according to the word of Mashiach, says the Rambam, Beruach HaKodesh Shetanuach Alav, and all this through the Ruach HaKodesh that will rest upon him. Meaning that Hashem is going to imbue Mashiach with this ability to recognize the authenticity of the Yichus of everyone. Shenemar, as it says, it's a pasuk in Malachi, V'yashav mitzareif u'mitaher. He will sit and he will refine and he will purify the chulu. So what exactly is he going to reveal? So Bnei Levi mitaher techila. So the Bnei Levi is who he's going to purify first. V'omer, and he's going to say, Zeh meyuchas kohen, v'zeh meyuchas Levi. This one has the yichus of being a kohen, this one has the yichus of being a Levi. V'docha esh'eina meyuchasim b'Yisrael, and he's going to push away those who don't have the yichus. Those are going to be moved to Yisrael, and so it seems like Mashiach is going to identify who the real Kohanim are and who are not the real Kohanim. Hareyu Omer, and that's what the verse means, the verse in Ezra, Vayomer HaTirshasa Lahem, and the Tirshasa said to them, V'chulu, that you will not know who your Kohen is, Ad Yamo Adamot Kohen L'Urim Ulusumim, until the Kohen rises, will stand up with the Urim Betumim, meaning until we get divine knowledge of who the Kohanim are. Hine Lamadata, we learn from this, Sheberuach HaKodesh Misyachsim, that through his divine spirit, through Ruach HaKodesh, through an influence from Hashem, he will give the yichus hamuchzakim of those who have a chazaka that they are kohanim and levim, umodiyan amayuchas, and he will make it known who those who do or don't have yichus. So right now we're only saying within Shevet Levi, he's going to say who is a kohen, who is a Levi, and who is a Yisrael. Right, so Urim Vesumim just means in this case that Hashem will give us the information. But the choosing of the Kohen Gadol, which is the question to itself, is the choosing of the Kohen Gadol is done by all the other Kohanim who appoint the one who is the most exceptional of them to be the Kohen Gadol. So that would be its own process once we have all the Kohanim back in order, that they would then choose their leader, their Kohen Gadol. Yeah, every single Jew will participate in this, and if you recall a class we gave many years ago, the psukim seem to suggest that Mashiach is even going to take Kohanim and Leviim from amongst the Goyim. So the question is, how is that possible? And the answer is that somehow, this is from the Brisker Rav, who explains that somehow Hashem is making, it says with this matriarch asked one of the rabbis, what's Hashem doing all day? So he said Hashem is mezavik zivugim. Hashem is mezavik zivugim. I can be mezavik zivugim. And so this matriarch, she took 300 slave boys and 300 slave women. She put them together, and the next day she was dealing with 300 marriage counseling sessions. So then she said, "You're right. Hashem really is amazing that he's mezavik zivugim." But what does it really mean that Hashem is being mezavik zivugim all day? So you could explain it from a Kabbalistic perspective that Hashem is unifying the world and all of that. But one of the explanations, and this is from the Brisker Rav, is that Hashem is making sure that a Jew marries a Jew, marries a Jew, marries a Jew, marries a Jew through lines of Gentiles. So there are goyim out there. When I say goyim, I mean people who believe themselves to be non-Jews and live as non-Jews and all kinds of things, and they are actually the heir to the tribe of Naphtali. Like, they are a purebred Naphtaliite or Yisacharite, because actually their parents were both Jewish and the father was from Yisachar, and his parents were both Jewish and the father was from Yisachar, and so forth and so on. So Hashem is being mezavik zivugim. Hashem is marrying off people, even though it looks like, and so much of the assimilation that's happening is only to our perspective. That's what the Brisker Rav suggests. I guess a whole subject on its own, but that would suggest that there are even people who think that they're Goyim and they're actually Kohanim. Yeah, I think you're just asking how could Hashem possibly do this, and the answer is Hashem knows what he's doing. I mean, and that's what the Brisker Rav is saying. That even though it seems like, how is it possible? Hashem can do whatever he wants. So Hashem has arranged it that it should be a Jew who meets a Jew, even though they both think they're Gentiles. They're actually, he's a Kohen and she's a pure blood a Jew, and then that the son is a Kohen, and he finds up marrying this woman who he thinks is a complete Gentile, but she's actually kosher to marry a Kohen, and Hashem keeps that going for centuries and millennia. And that's what it is, because Baruch Hu is Yoshev and Mezavik Zivukim. Yeah, that's what the Brisker Rav explains, because the Psukim say that Hashem is going to take from the Goyim to be Kohanim and Leviim. What does that mean? Answer is, some of them are pure Kohanim. No. I mean, that's not how I understood it. But in some ways, obviously intermarriage is something that's very painful, but if it does happen to someone, a simple thought of consolation is that it may actually not be assimilation. Right, or at least that's what we think. Right. That's what he's saying, that some of that actually isn't the case. Now, that's up to Hashem, but what we're saying is we won't find all this out until Mashiach comes, and he's going to say, you're a Kohen, you're a Levi, and you're Yisrael, and you're saying he's going to bring all the non-from Jew, yeah, every single Jew in the world, but not only every single Jew in the world, but even people who think that they weren't Jewish their whole lives, they're going to be brought in and included. Ve'enu miyaches liYisrael. But when he names someone as a Yisrael, says the Rambam, he's only going to give the yichus ela l'shivtam, just to tell people what shevet they are from. So if people ask this question all the time, how will we know which shevet we are from? It's mefurish Rambam. The Mashiach is going to give everyone the information about what tribe they're from. Shemotia shezem yishevet ploni. He's going to say, you're from this tribe, you're from that tribe. And the reason why this has to be known, of course, is because there are halachos that have to do with the division of the land of Eretz Yisrael, which goes according to the tribes. And we have rules of tribes, such as every tribe has to have its own Sanhedrin. That's a law that applies to a tribe. So then it's required for us to know what tribe we are from. But if you know what your tribe your father's from, you know what tribe you're from, and if you marry someone from Shevet Reuven, then you'd be from Shevet Reuven. So if you were unmarried, you'd be the tribe that belongs to your father up until. Avol Eina Omer, but Mashiach is not going to tell you, Al Shehem Becheskes Kashrus, that people who we assume are kosher, that you should know secretly Zem Mamzer. That's not his job to do. He's not here to reveal who is a Mamzer. Or Vze Eved, or that this person is actually not a pure Jew, but they were from slaves of Jews that got mixed in. Shadin hu, because the halacha is shemishpacha shenitma'a, that the laws with a mamzer are that if a mamzer disappears into the crowd, that he has disappeared into the crowd. A family that has become embedded, and therefore the halacha actually is that they've disappeared. That's actually the halacha. So therefore, there's no requirement for a Mashiach to dig up, so to speak, old news, and announce who are from Amzerim and who are from Avadim. Rather, they become nullified in the crowd, that's the halacha. And there's a tshuva from Reb Moshe Feinstein on this subject, with a tshuva on the subject as to how this affects the way that Rabbanim and the community would deal with the situation of a mamzer bizman hazeh. Do we allow it to sort of disappear into the crowd, as the Rambam seems to suggest would be an okay way to do things? But there is a discussion by Reb Moshe Feinstein, who had to deal, unfortunately, with this question, especially after World War II, where people would get remarried under the presumptions that their previous spouse had died in the Holocaust, and that wasn't always the case. And so the issues came up, and how to deal with that. Quite a complicated issue for Reb Moshe to deal with. Says the Rambam, but that's not going to come up later. The Mashiach is only here to identify Kohanim, Leviim, Yisraelim, and then amongst the Yisraelim, he's going to tell each person what Shevet they are from. If they are a mamzer or an eved of that shevet, it sounds like that they would qualify for that shevet. The question, what about a ger? You know, where will they go in Eretz Yisrael? And so I said then, I once asked a Talmud Chacham this question, where would the ger go when Mashiach comes, where in Eretz Yisrael? And he said he doesn't know, but he has good counsel. Is that if a ger is not sure where to go, he should find Rabbi Akiva and go wherever Rabbi Akiva goes. Yeah, the question is, what's called identified? So here it sounds like when a family is lost. If right now only a small percentage of people know, but we know that this child's illegitimate, but so can you not tell people? That's different than once it's already disappeared. It's a complicated issue. So that's why. Because you may not be able to look at chila intentionally cause it to become embedded. Right. Yeah. The problem of non-kosher gittin is one of the primary causes of the issues of mamzeres today. But yeah, that's different. In that world, that was a different world. I mean, at some point we'll discuss it, but we'll leave it within this context. Okay, there is some question and some discussion as to what about pasul kohanim. So if Mashiach is going to say that someone's a kohen or a levi, well, what if they are a kohen but they were born, let's say, from a kohen who married a divorcee? So those children are the sons of kohanim, but they're not kosher kohanim. They're what we call chalalim. Pasul Kohanim. So does Mashiach identify that? Does he not? This gets pretty complicated, but we're just going to leave things the way the Rambam writes it, and I want to move on to Halacha Dalad, so let's go on. Okay. Halacha Dalad is where the Rambam gives us a philosophical perspective that we're going to have to weigh against what the Rambam says in other places. So we're just going to read the Rambam as he says it here. Let's get the words. Halacha Dalad. Lo nis'avu ha-nevi'im v'chachamim yemos ha-mashiach. The prophets and the sages did not desire yemos ha-mashiach, that Mashiach should come. Lo kedei sheyishlutu al kol ha'olam, not because they wanted world dominion. V'lo kedei sheyeridu b'goyim, nor because they wanted control over the nations. V'lo kedei sheyinasu osam ha'amim, and not that we should be elevated amongst the nations. And you notice the Rambam is going in a sort of descending order. Not because we want to be the big leaders, or even because we want to have control, or even that we don't want anyone else to control us. And we also don't desire Mashiach, because life is going to be comfortable then. Velo, and not, kidei lechol velishtos velismoach, to eat and drink and be merry. Ella, why do we want Mashiach? Says the Rambam, kidei shenir pnuyim b'torah v'chachmasa, so that we should be free and available to learn Torah and its wisdom. V'lo yi'alahem noges, we should not have someone beating us up, umavatel, or someone disrupting us. Why do we want that? Why do we want to have no one bothering us? Says the Rambam, kidei sheyizku l'chaye ha'olam haba, so that we can merit olam haba. The Rambam adds, kmo shebiarnu b'hilchos tshuva, as I already explained in Hilchos Tshuva. So the Rambam is saying, there's a point here that I'm making to you in brief, but I made this point more elaborately back in Hilchos Tshuva. So let's look back in Hilchos Tshuva. What's the Rambam talking about over there? So if you know, the Rambam starts his Sefer with Sefer Hamada, which is the beginning of the Mishnah Torah. We're learning Hilchos Melachim and Molchamos, which is the end of Mishnah Torah. But these are the two bookends. The first Sefer, Sefer Hamada, throughout that Sefer, the Rambam elaborates on the 13 principles of faith. In his commentary to the Mishnah, which we're going to quote soon also, the Rambam generates or creates the system of the 13 principles of faith, which before him didn't exist in a unified way. Meaning, if you would have asked a Jew before the Rambam, do we believe in Tchias HaMesim? Of course. Do we believe in Mashiach? Yes. Do we believe in reward and punishment? Do we believe in God? Do we believe in Moshe? We would have believed all those things. But the Rambam organized it into 13 neat principles of faith, which we refer to as the Yud Gimel Ikrim, the 13 principles, which in our Siddur you'll find as the Yud Gimel Animamens, which were not written by the Rambam, but they're based on the Rambam's writings. In Mishneh Torah and Sefer Hamada, the Rambam, from Hilchos Yisodi HaTorah all the way through Hilchos Tshuva, goes through all 13 principles of faith. And so there he discusses Mashiach as a principle of faith, which is different than what he's discussing it at the end of the Sefer, which is the halachos of Mashiach. So we're learning the halachos of Mashiach, not so much the principle behind the coming of Mashiach, which is what he describes in Hilchos Tshuva. And there, in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam starts off in Perek Ches by explaining what Olam Haba is. And essentially, what the Rambam gets to is to reiterate an important teaching of our sages, that schar, reward, and punishment doesn't happen in this world. There's no schar va'onish in this world, unless you're being paid off in this world. In other words, someone who's truly wicked, so they don't get to have Olam Haba. So well, how is Hashem going to reward them for all the mitzvahs they do? So sometimes, Mishalem Lasonav Alpanav La'avido, as the Pasuk says, that Hashem will repay someone in this world. That's why we have so many bad people who have good things happening to them. That's because they've done a few good things in their life, and for that they need to be rewarded. And on the other hand, sometimes you have a tzaddik who has done all these righteous things, and he may have done a few things wrong, so he gets a little punishment in this world. But that's only like a cleansing system in order to help facilitate the system in Shemayim. But true schar va'onesh exists only in Olam Haba. That's the Rambam's position. And that's what the Rambam elaborates in Perek Ches of Hilchos Tshuva. So then the question is, asks the Rambam, and this is the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Tes, chapter 9, Halacha Aleph. Asks the Rambam, if reward for us is Olam Haba, Gan Eden, Why does it say differently in Shema? In the Shema it says, V'hayam Shema, if you will listen, and you do all the mitzvahs, I'm going to give you the rain, and your animals will eat, and you will eat. But if you don't, I'm going to make it horrible for you, and the nations will come, and they'll drive you out of the land, and you will suffer. It sounds like there's reward and punishment going on in this world. That's the Rambam's question. And the Rambam, in his answer to the question, we're going to read the full Rambam, and then we'll see, the Rambam is then going to say that this is going to explain the concept of Mashiach. So let's read the words of the Rambam inside, in Perek, in Hilchos Teshuva, Perek Tes. Says the Rambam, Mi'acher shenoda matan scharan shal mitzvos, now that we've made it known that the reward for the mitzvos, Vatova shenizkela, and the good that we will merit, im shamarnu derech Hashem akasu v'Torah, if we keep the ways of Hashem, as written in the Torah, hu chaye olam haba, really means reward in the next world. Shenemar l'man yitav la'achu will be good for you, v'arachta yamim, you'll live long. Live long? No one lives long in this world. If you live 120 years, that's not long. So what's arichus yamim? Arichus yamim is in olam haba. And the vengeance taken from the wicked, sha'azvu archas atzedek, who abandoned the ways of righteousness, haksuvas b'torah, he hakares, is that they get cut off from the next world. Shenemar he kares, ti kares, hanefesha hi avonaba. So if so, ma'u zeh shekasad, then why does the Torah write, b'chala Torah kula, the whole Torah, im tishmu, if you will listen, yagi alechem, you'll get this and you'll get that. Vim lo tishmu, and if you don't listen, yikra eschem, here's what will happen to you. V'chal osna dvarim ba'olam hazeh, and you look at the list of what the Torah says will happen if you do right and wrong, soba v'rav, if you do the right thing, there'll be plenty. If you do the wrong thing, there'll be a famine. That's this world. Molchama, shalom. Malchus, you'll have kingship. Shiflus, you'll be subjugated. Yeshivas Arth, you will live in the land. V'galus, an exile. What's exile? That's reward and punishment in this world. Vatzlachas Maisi, you'll have success. Have Seder, you'll have failure. Shar Kol Divrei Abris, all these promises that Hashem makes with us, they're all in this world. Says the Rambam, I thought there's no Schar Va'onish in this world. The answer is, Kol Osan Advarim Emes Hayu V'Yia, this is all true. Ubizman shanu osim kol mitzvos haTorah, when we do the mitzvos, yagi aleinu tovus olam hazeh kulam, we get reward, we get the good of this world. I shouldn't use the word the reward. Ubizman shanu over malem, when we break the Torah, tikra osanu aras haksuvus, all the bad things will happen to us. Nevertheless, says the Rambam, they're not reward. They're not reward. After became enosna tovus himself matan schar shal mitzvos. Those are not the end of reward of mitzvos. V'lo osna rois himself in the common. Nor the bad things that happen to this in this world are not the true punishment. Shenokvim yover al kol mitzvos. So then, what are they for? Says the Rambam. El kachu hatseya hadvarim. This is how you should understand all of these promises. And this is important because this is the second chapter of Shema. How do we understand it? Okay, so let me explain the idea outside, then we'll read the words inside. The idea outside is like this. If someone comes to you and says, I have a great investment, it's a great investment, it's a good business deal, you want this deal. You say, I don't know if it's really good. So the person says, give me $100. $100. Not the end of the world, and to invest in someone who's a friend. So you give him $100. He comes back the next week, and he says, here's $120. This is how much the investment made. Now you can say to him, if you want to, take the whole 120 and invest it again. Are you rewarding him? You're not rewarding him. What do you mean? He's going to get a bigger commission now. It's still not a reward. I'm investing with you. So I'm not rewarding you if you give me back a lot of money. I'm further investing in you. Says the Rambam, Hashem gives someone $1 million, and they earn $1 million worth of points in Olam Haba. So Hashem says, aha, you use the gifts I use for the right reason. I'll give you more money so that you can earn more for Olam Haba. That's what you're doing, is Hashem is further investing in you for accomplishment of mitzvahs. Hashem is not rewarding you, Hashem is offering you more opportunities. So Hashem says like this, if I give you money and you use it to earn mitzvahs, so you're a good investment, so I'll invest more in you to earn more mitzvahs. But if I'm going to give you money and you're going to waste it, then I'm not investing wisely in you, so I'm not going to give you money. So it's not reward. That's the position of the Rambam. So that's how you have to read V'hayam Shemoah. If you are a good investment, I will invest in you, says the Rambam, like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nasan lanu haTorah, Hashem gave us the Torah. Zu Eitz Chaim, it's the tree of life. V'chala osa kala kasuv ba, so if you do what it says in it, V'yoda de'a gemura, and you know the Torah, nechona, in the right way, Zocha ba l'chayo el maba, you merit eternal life. And how much Olam Haba do you get? That depends on how much you learn and how much you do. Now the Torah is promising us, if we do it with joy and with willing heart, and we toil in the Torah. Aha! So if you're someone who wants to learn Torah, I'll give you more opportunity to learn the Torah. Hashem will remove the obstacles in your way to learn Torah. Kigon chali, such as illness. If you do the right thing, Hashem says, aha, that's a person I should take illness away from. Umulchamo, or take war away from. Virav, or famine, kiyotzimem, and things like that. And instead, Hashem will give us kalatovos and mechaskim es yodenu la'asosis kalatorah. Hashem will give us all the good things so that we can keep the Torah. Kigon sovav, Hashem gives us plenty, we can keep the Torah better. Shalom and peace. Verabos kesev azav, and lots of gold and silver. Kadesh lo nasa kol yameinu bidvarim shaguf tzarechlam. Because the less work we have to do, the more mitzvahs we will do. Elanesha Ptuya, will we be free? Lilmod b'chachma, to learn wisdom. V'lasas ha-mitzvah, kadesh nizka, l'chayi el maba. That is actually a story like this, of a famous individual in Yerushalayim, who retired, finished working in life, and so he signed up for the mir. And shows up there every morning, like every other bachur, there's no age limit. And so he just went back to yeshiva. Why? Because Hashem provided him with a life where he doesn't have to work anymore. So he said, okay, well, you know, if this is the dream, then let's live the dream. So he went back to yeshiva. So that's what he's saying. That's what Hashem is saying to you. If you are going to use that time right, I'll give you opportunity to use that time right. After Hashem promised us all the good things, He says, "Utzdakati alanu." This will be a charity for us if we will. On the other hand, if we abandon the Torah, midatenu willingly, and we waste our time, as the pasuk says, "Vayishman Yeshurun vayivad Yeshurun became fattened and rebelled." Then the real judge, the true judge. Yasser mina ozvim, Hashem will remove from these abandoners kol tovos ha'ol mazeh, the good of this world. Shem chizki yadam libot, because Hashem says, I give you money and you use it for averas, so I'll take away the money so you'll do less averas. It's not a punishment, it's just protecting the person. And maybe alayim kol ha'ra'is ha'monimos ha'meliknas ha'olam hava, and Hashem will bring upon them the bad things, k'yishiyov debrisho, and then they'll be lost in their wickedness. Who shekasu b'Torah? That's why the Torah says, "Va'avadeta esayevecha asher yishalchenu Hashem bach." I will make you then serve your enemies. Tachas asher lo avadeta Hashem lekacha b'simcha b'tuv levav mirav kol, because you didn't serve Hashem when I gave you plenty. So the Rambam is saying that rov kol that the pasuk mentions there is the clue that the reason why I'm punishing you, and that's not really punishment. The reason why bad things are happening to you is because if Hashem would do good things to you, you wouldn't do the right thing. So Hashem is sending these bad things to you to change your ways. But if you would do the right thing, then good things would happen to you. Now the Rambam is being very elaborate. He's not done on this. The Rambam is usually, right, because this is a complicated idea that the Rambam has to expand. And of course, we're going to get to soon what the Rambam is going to say. And that's why we want Mashiach. But let's come to that. Nimsa pirushkal osna brachos va'klolus al derech zu. So whenever you find a blessing or a curse in the Torah, translate it like this, according to the Rambam. If you serve Hashem with joy, ushmartem darko, and you keep the ways, Hashem says, aha, mashpilam abrachas elu, Hashem is going to send you blessings so that you can keep doing the Torah. Umachir aklalos, and will keep away the curses, achetipnu, so you have the opportunity, leshakim b'Torah, to become wise in Torah, velasikbo, and to involve yourself in it, kadesh yiska l'chayel mabas, so that you can merit the reward which will come in the future. But Yitav L'chan will be good for you, the Olam Shekulato, for the world which is completely good. The Sarach Yamim, and you will have long days, the Olam Shekula Arach, in the world which is eternally long. Benim Tzuzuchim L'Shnei Olamas comes out that a person can actually merit both worlds. Someone like Avraham Avinu, for example, where it says, V'Avraham Zakein Baba Yamim, V'Hashem Berach as Avraham Bako. So let's, obviously it was hard for Avraham Avinu to all the first 10 tests, and then to lose Sarai Imenu was difficult. But after that, after Vayu Chayesara, after that, Avraham Avinu isn't tested anymore, and so he's, as the Torah describes, Beseva Tova. So Avraham Avinu would then have had, so to speak, Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, because he didn't need those challenges in Olam Hazeh. He already earned it. So you can marry both worlds. You can have a good life in this world. If you use it as a way to get to the next world. But if you don't use it to acquire the next world, otherwise, how are you going to marry? There's no actions and calculations and knowledge and wisdom in Gehenna. But in the negative, im azartim es Hashem, but if you abandon Hashem, ushigisem, and you get lost, but maichel mishta is nus, and life is about eating and drinking and immoral behavior, but domalam and things like that, maybe aleichem kol haklala, then Hashem will bring the curses upon you. Umeisik kol habrachas, and remove the blessings. Why? So that you'll no longer have the opportunity to sin. Your life will be lost in the chaos, upachad and fear. You won't have a clear mind. Or a healthy body. So then you lose this world, and you lose the next world. You lose both worlds. Because you end up with sickness and war and famine in this world. And in the Misasig, and because of that, you can't study lo chachma, no wisdom, lo mitzvah, and perform mitzvahs. Shvem zochim chayim avah, to get the next world. That's all Perek Tes Halacha Aleph. And now comes the part of this that applies to us, which is the Rambam says, and that's why we want Mashiach. This is why the Jewish people are hoping and davening and praying for Mashiach, Yemos HaMelech HaMashiach. Not because we want our own leadership. We want to be free of the evil kingship, which doesn't allow us to keep the Torah and the mitzvahs in the right way. That's what we're davening for. We want a world where we can observe the Torah. We want a place where we can have peace from all that trouble. To increase our wisdom, so that we can merit the world to come. And what's going to happen in the days of Mashiach? So we're about to get a description from the Rambam of what the world is going to look like in the days of Mashiach. It's slightly different than the one we're going to see when we go back to the Hilchos Malachim. We're going to see the Rambam is going to give a little bit. There's some differences in the way he describes it here and the way he describes it there. We may or may not focus on those differences, but just to know that it's different. But what the Rambam is going to write here, so he says, "L'vishba osan ayamim, in these days of Mashiach, tarba hadeya, knowledge will increase. Ba'achachma, and wisdom will increase. Ba'ha'emes, and the truth will increase. Shenemer, as it says, Ki mala ha'aretz deyas Hashem, the world will be filled with knowledge of God. V'nemer, it also says, V'lo yilmedu ish es achiv v'ish es rayehu. People will no longer learn, teach each other all kinds of terrible things and more. V'nemer, it says, V'asirosi es leva eve mibisarchem. I will remove the stone heart from your flesh and replace it with a heart of flesh. Because there will be a king, Shiyamud Mizera David, who will rise up from the descendants of David. Balchachma Yia, Mashiach is going to be so wise. Yeser Mishlomo, more than Shlomo HaMelech. Now, if you looked at the Rambam, we've been learning here, we learned that Mashiach is going to have all kinds of great things about him, but we did not learn that he was going to be wiser than Shlomo HaMelech. That's what the Rambam says in Hilchos Teshuva. V'navi gadol hu, he's a great prophet, karov mi Moshe Rabbeinu. Not quite, but close to Moshe Rabbeinu. Pikach, and therefore, Yelamid Kal Ha'am, he's going to be the great teacher. Yelamid Kal Ha'am, V'yora Osam Derech Hashem, and he will guide them in the ways of Hashem. V'yavoyu Kal Ha'gayim L'shamo, and all the nations of the world, everyone will come to hear him. Maybe the Rambam couldn't use these words because he didn't have the technology then. But Mashiach is going to have a jumbotron. He's going to have access to all the world, and they will hear him. Shenama v'hayu ba'achris ayamin. It will be in the end of days. Nachon yiyah har beis Hashem berosh harim, at the top of the mountains. That's the end of the Rambam speech over there about Mashiach. V'sofas char, but the Rambam goes back to his topic. But the real reward, kula v'atova achrona she'en la hafzik. But the real good that has no end. V'lo girayin, and no diminishing. Hi chayo mava. That's the next world. Avo yemos ha-Mashiach, says the Rambam, the days of Mashiach. Hu ha-olam hazeh, that's this world. V'olam kemin hago ho-lech, and the world will continue as is, except for the autonomy. El shal malchus tachzor li-Yisrael. It's only kingship that will return to the Jewish people. Kvar amur chachamim ha-rishonim, as our sages have said, ein min ha-olam hazeh li-yemos ha-Mashiach, that the only difference between our state of the world and the world of Mashiach is El Shibid Malchiyos Bovad, only the difference of the subjugation of the nations. That's the Rambam in Hilchos Teshuva that we're reading today. Every word over there in that Rambam that we just read needs analysis, but we don't have time for that because we're not learning the Rambam in Hilchos Teshuva. We're learning the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim and Molchamos. Nevertheless, the Rambam himself here sends you there. Because the Rambam doesn't want you to forget that in Hilchos Teshuva he insisted that even the days of Mashiach is not what it's all about. Unlike some of the other Rishonim. The Rambam learns that Hilchos Teshuva, in Hilchos Teshuva the Rambam explains that Mashiach is just the preferred platform for our lives in this world. It is a world where no one stands in the way of our free will, where we can use our choices to make the best decisions in the world, where learning is available, where there's no decrees against the observance of mitzvahs, where there's no fear of Jews going to shul because someone's going to do something, because we will have autonomy and freedom and power and success and financial resources as a people. And we will have the ability to properly serve Hashem, not because Mashiach is the end of it, but because that will allow us Olam Haba. So all of this that we're wanting Mashiach for is because we want a world where we can more properly serve Hashem.
What is the meaning exactly of Olam Haba? Mashiach is
going to
be here for how long, and how long till the next world?
So the Rambam is going to learn, the Rambam explains this in Hilchos Teshuva, that's really beyond this physical realm. it is the Ramban who takes more of the approach that Olam Haba is where this entire physical realm transcends into a more spiritual realm, but it's still body and soul. The Rambam seems to understand Olam Haba as being only soul and not body. So that difference, which is a whole separate discussion between the Rambam and the Ramban, and the difference of this stage called Olam Haba, is sort of a Hilchos Tshuva discussion. So, but in terms of a Mashiach, the Rambam is learning, yeah, this is just a regular, you know, Olam Hazeh kind of thing, while the Ramban, who's going to learn that we're going to transcend this world, is going to learn that each of these stages will be a slightly more spiritual, less physical stage of the world until eventually we graduate out of the physical into the spiritual physical. Right, so Tchias HaMesim, like the Rambam sort of said, we don't know exactly at what point it's going to happen. But Tchias HaMesim is early, as the Rambam, if you recall, someone accused the Rambam of claiming that Mashiach is not going to be in Tchias HaMesim, because the Rambam said that Mashiach doesn't have to bring the dead back to prove that he's Mashiach, right? So someone misunderstood him, says the Rambam, no, of course, I'm the one who made that one of the 13 principles of faith. All I'm saying is it can happen before, during, or after Mashiach. That's what he said in his letter in response. Which means that the Rambam is not sure himself at what stage Tchias HaMesim takes place. But if you look at the Ramban, or, you know, others, they learn that that's an advanced stage, which is part of that process of transcending the physical realms.
What happens if everybody dies until now? Are they in Olam Haba, or is it different?
So as the Ramchal deals, is that they are in what's called Olam HaNeshamos, which according to the Rambam is an early Olam Haba, and according to the Ramban is a other extreme of Olam Haba, which means only the Neshama. And so the Tchias HaMesim is when it's all going to become complete, because it will be the Neshama and the Guf in a balanced, fixed state, and that's going to be the ultimate Olam Haba. These are trying to cover all the different sides of it. It's complicated, but that's like I said, a Hilchos Tshuva discussion. Here we're discussing Hilchos Melachim and Melchamos. These are the halachos of what we have to keep in this world. Okay, yes?
Yaakov says if things go badly, he's going to go to Sheol. So it seems that there is some kind of system of reward and punishment or disgrace or disappointment that is already in place.
Oh yeah, no one's doubting that, but not in this world.
What?
But not in this world. That's the point. Yeah, no one's doubting.
Is something there that's already in place before Mashiach?
Well, that was the question that he asked. Because what we have is we have Mashiach and we have Olam Haba. Now we know Mashiach comes before Olam Haba. The question is Mashiach physical, and then all that will end, and then there will be something else called Olam Haba, or like the Ramban, that Mashiach is sort of these preliminary stages as the world transcends into Olam Haba kind of state of being. So the question that they asked was, well, then why are people getting Gehenna and Gan Eden right now? Right. So the answer is, that's called Olam HaNeshamos. Right, so in the Olam HaNeshamos, which is where people go when they die, they get heaven and hell. That's each person's individual judgment, which happens to every person when they die. But then there'll be the Olam Haba, which is where everyone comes together at the end and just has Olam Haba, but that's when everything is fixed. That's when everyone's already received their reward and punishment in their individual sense. Before Olam Haba, yeah. Okay, so there's one more source that we have to see on this subject, although I don't know if I'll be able to read it all today. But that's the Rambam in his commentary to the Mishnah, where he first tells us about this being a principle of faith, the concept of Mashiach. And then the Rambam has to explain why do we want Mashiach? Why is that a principle of faith? If all Mashiach is just autonomy, why is that a principle of our faith? Right? So then the Rambam has to explain why we want Mashiach, that it's not about the autonomy. It's about we believe that Hashem is going to give us an opportunity to live in a world where we can live and keep the Torah the way we want to. So this is a long Rambam, but this is in his commentary to the Mishnah. We'll start it. We'll probably have to continue next time, but let's begin. I want to tell you more about Olam Haba. That you should know. The same way you can't explain color to a blind person, and you can't explain sound to a deaf person, nor can you explain desires to a eunuch, in the same way you can't explain to a human body Gan Eden. You don't have the faculties to understand what Gan Eden really is because you can only think in physical terms. Just like you can't explain fire to a fish, because he's in water, in the same way you can't understand what Olam Haba is while you're in the physical world. Because we have nothing other than physical pleasure to compare it to. Anything outside of that is beyond our comprehension. I'm not translating everything, but just read it quickly. We need serious analysis. In other words, a person would have to do some serious philosophical contemplation to connect himself to a pleasure that he can't comprehend. And the reason why it's so, we're in the physical world, and we can only understand physical pleasures. Pleasures of the soul, number one, they're eternal. And human pleasures are not eternal. And if they are, they stop being pleasure. Which is why, says the Rambam, you can't even begin to compare it. Because food, compare it to like the best meal. It's like someone asked someone what's their perfect Gan Eden. Right? So an oven that has an endless supply of pizza and a stomach that's never full. That's Gan Eden. So a person may say this, but after the 10th pie, they'll say enough Gan Eden already, even though they're not full. Like, that's all I want to do? Yeah, but that's, so he's saying we can't fathom a concept of eternal pleasure, because any of our pleasures are by definition unable to be eternal. And we, as Torah Jews, and actually proper philosophers, we understand angels have pleasure. The pleasure of angels is incredible beyond our comprehension. They don't have the physical pleasure. They don't even have the faculties for pleasure that we have. So when a person refines himself after death, it's not physical pleasure. So he says, wanting physical pleasure after you die is like the king who, after his coronation, wants to go play ball in the schoolyard. You're king. That's what your pleasure is? So that's what he's saying. Maybe when he was 5 years old, the basketball game was better than his kingship. But that's because he was so young. We're in the middle of reading the Rambam, where again, each of these places, he's going to say this slightly different. What we want to get to is at the end of this Rambam, where the Rambam is going to clarify one particular point, which is, are we doing all this for reward? Like, why are we doing anything for reward anyway? But before we go there, the Rambam wants to clarify that Mashiach is not the end reward. Mashiach is just a platform where we can perform the mitzvahs better. And he said that here, and he points us to Hilchos Tshuva, and Hilchos Tshuva, he says it again, the primary thing is Olam Haba, and not the days of Mashiach. If so, why are we so excited about Mashiach? So the Rambam says in each of these places, because of the lifestyle that he will give us, which will be the kind that will allow us, each of us, to become the best servant of Hashem that we could be. This is because it will allow each of us to reach our potential, and that's what we're davening for a world without obstacles, a world without sadness, a world without struggles and difficulties, but a world where we only have to make the choices to do the right thing, and they are always available to us. Be'ez Hashem, we can continue next week.